Gordon Uranowitz is appearing in Burn This alongside Adam Driver and Keri Russell on Broadway, and he's here to talk about that and give us his spin on our LGBTQ issues. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, Charlotte. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
First of all, tell us about your role as Larry in Burn This.
To explain Larry, I just explained very briefly. Burn This is sort of about four people dealing with the death of someone very close to them and sort of how that loss and that grief gets them in touch with what's important in their lives and what brings meaning and joy to them and sort of how that grief and that loss opens you up to certain possibilities and closes you off to other possibilities. And so I play Larry, who is Anna's gay roommate. Anna is played by Keri Russell. And the deaf is our third roommate, Robbie, a very brilliant young dancer who gets killed in an accident. And Larry is an interesting character to play for me in 2019. He was written, you know, the play is written by Lamford Wilson. It was written in 1980. And it's interesting for me because back then, in the late 80s, this character, the, you know, the gay sidekick, the gay roommate, was a novelty for audiences and wasn't really something that people had a reference point for. So it was very new for people to see, especially in sort of like a widespread audience like Broadway. But now, after, you know, the progress, all of the progress that we've made, and with marriage equality and, you know, other televisions like Will and Grace and Modern Family and things like that, this type of character is no longer a single trope. I don't think he really plays as stereotype anymore. He is a living, breathing human being, and that's sort of what has been for me to play, has been to sort of drop the facade of the novelty that once was and sort of found his truth and his humanity, because at this point we have to show that gay people and queerness is not just something to be stereotyped as a sidekick. He's sort of the funny one-liner comic relief zinger guy. He's a human being with opinions and feelings, and yeah.
How did you get involved with Burn This?
It was totally random, actually. Usually, you know, something like this, you would get an audition or something like that. But I very randomly last year got an email from my agent asking if I would be interested in going to a very casual table read of Burn This with Adam Driver and Keri Russell to play Larry. They were doing it for Michael Mayer, our director, and Lamford Wilson Estate, and for the producers, very casual, just to hear it out loud. And I don't think they had yet heard Adam or Keri read the roles. And, you know, I'm not nearly as recognizable a name as the two of them. So I just sort of thought I was a placeholder at that point. But I went, I got the play, I read it a bunch. I did a lot of preparation just because I wanted to do a good job. I wanted to bring as much life to the table read as I could. And I went, and it was very small. There were like maybe six people there to listen. And we read it, and it went well. And the next day they called me and asked me if I wanted to do the production, which wasn't going to happen for another like 9 months. But yeah, that's how that happened.
What do you hope to accomplish with your work?
Great question. My goal, ultimately, as an out, proud gay man, is, you know, on a very basic level, my goal is to always tell the truth and be honest and authentic and perform a character's existence with the most humanity as possible so that when the audience comes, they can look into a mirror on stage and see some bit of themselves in whatever I'm doing. But in a broader sense, for me, growing up, especially growing up without social media and without the sort of like sweeping transparency that we have generally now, and how much we know about actors. characters and their personal lives and what they stand for and their politics and all of that. Growing up without all of that, I didn't really have much of a role model or someone that I could relate to in the zeitgeist or in the performing arts. I only knew what was presented on stage, and if I saw a gay character on stage, I would, you know, in my quiet way, lock into that, and I could relate to it. But I didn't really know anything about the actors. And so now that we've got all this transparency, my goal is really to be that reference point for younger people that I didn't have growing up, so that they know. Because my philosophy these days is, it's not just enough to have gay characters. That simply shows that we are acknowledged and we are recognized as part of society in this world. But I think we've grown past that now, and we need to realize that gay people, gay actors, have a place in society as well. That it's not just the characters, it's the actors, that we can be productive members of the workforce, that we can do things. We can play gay, we can play straight, we can do it all. And it doesn't matter who we are necessarily in our personal lives. It only matters what happens when we step on stage or step in front of the camera. But I think it's very important for young people to see that a gay man like myself, who lives out and doesn't try and hide anything, can be a productive member of society, that I can work and make a living doing what I love. And, you know, that's something I didn't really have much as a kid. So I didn't really know what the possibilities were for me. And sort of my goal is to show people that they're endless, really. If you focus on the work and you do good work and you train and you're disciplined, it doesn't matter who you are. As long as you show up and you are prepared, you can do anything.
What is your personal commitment to LGBTQ civil rights, especially with Stonewall 50 coming up?
It is extremely important to me. I mean, I think it's probably the most important thing to me, particularly trans rights, I think, and trans visibility is of the utmost importance now. It's sort of at the top of my priority list, I guess, if I were to have one. And, you know, it's a funny question, only because I can't imagine someone in my position that there's anything less than a 100% commitment. So I guess it's hard for me to answer, because it just feels like organic and natural for me to make that my mission, to be a representative for our community and make sure that we are seen and we are heard and we are accepted, and that equality is something that we fight for and we win. We were winning. It seems like we're taking a few steps back, but I will be on the front lines with my colleagues to make sure that we fight, always. It would be weird that anybody would say otherwise.
How do you see our LGBTQ community or any minority moving forward in this Trump administration, especially with the new Congress and the attempt to finally pass the Equality Act?
You know, it's tough, because I sort of feel like, you know, ever since Stonewall and that era, it's just like, when are we going to get to rest, I guess. But my feeling is that we just continue to fight, and there is strength in numbers. You know, thankfully, during the Obama era, we made so much progress, and so many people were able, because of that progress, and because we were no longer just tolerated, we were accepted and being treated as equals. So many people had the courage to come out and live their truth. And suddenly our numbers grew exponentially. And I think we can use that strength now moving forward and just not be bullied into moving back into the shadows and regressing into where we were. We are out and we are proud, and we are fighters, and we will continue to do that and resist and protest and make our voices heard loudly. This is not a time for being delicate or to mince words or to be fragile in our mission. We have to just fight harder than ever.
With LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids?
To know that there is a way out and that there is a giant, massive community waiting to accept them and bring them and take them under their wing and protect them and show them what it means to live out and proud and in safety and safely. You know, I was there at one point, and it's impossible really to get through to someone who is going through that when it's their only experience. It's so difficult for kids to realize that the world is as big as it is and that they are not stuck and that there's a way out if they can find it in themselves to persevere. I want to let those kids be. I want to take the bullies aside and give them a piece of my mind and give them some advice about kindness and acceptance. That's sort of where I wish we would move our focus, because especially right now with this bully-in-chief, my goal would be to take all of the bullies aside and try and teach what it means to lead with kindness and compassion. And that difference is not something to be bullied, but something to be celebrated, because what makes us unique is what makes us powerful and what makes us interesting. And, you know, I guess that's sort of what I would tell those kids, to just hang in there and realize that what makes you unique, what makes you different, is what makes you powerful and what makes you special. And it's the reason you are here on this earth, is to weave your uniqueness into the fabric of our world. And we need that. And it will be vital. And who knows what you can do with your life. The possibilities are endless for you. And there is a vast community of people out there waiting to take you in. And if you can be strong, just wait. Because, I mean, you know, I know that whole hashtag "it gets better" thing got trite really quickly. But it really, truly does. You just have to look outside yourself and look outside your bubble a little bit to just know that there is safety at the end of the tunnel and you can get there.
How can people get information about Burn This and also about your work?
Google is a great resource. Also, I mean, if you want to get information about my work, about just what I've done, there's information online. I would also suggest reading Burn This, to be honest, by Lamford Wilson. It's a beautiful play, and it's really interesting to read. And I think people will have a really enjoyable experience reading it and then going to see it. I think it will surprise people. I think it'll catch them off guard. It reads very much like a drama, but I think once you come and see it, you will be pleasantly surprised by how much you laugh out loud with your belly. So yeah, I would say go read the play. Read Lamford Wilson's other plays too. Read Tally's Folly. Read 5th of July. He was a brilliant mind. And I guess about my work, you can YouTube me. You can Google me. I was just on the second season of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. If you want to watch episodes 4, 5, and 6, I will be in an episode on the upcoming Fosse Verdon series on FX. Go online. There's a lot you can find out on the interweb.
Do you have a favorite quote and mantra to get you through difficult times?
I do have "All's Well" tattooed on my left wrist. I mean, I know it's kind of basic, but it's simple and it gets to the point, which is, you know, that's sort of it. That if I can take a step back and step outside the current circumstances that may be driving me towards insanity, I can take a step back and look at the big picture and say that all's well. You know, if I'm having a bad day at rehearsal or if I have a bad show, I tend to get very bogged down by the minutiae of things and by the details. And I'm a perfectionist. So when I start to get pressured by all of that, I can, especially, you know, like, for example, right now, if I have a bad day in rehearsal or something, I can take a step back and say, Brandon, you're in a Broadway play with Adam Driver and Carrie Russell playing a seminal LGBT character, the dream you've had since you were a child, all's well.